Oh, good morning. All right, got the rowdy bunch here this Sunday, right? At least we hope. I'm kind of rowdy myself. Ask my wife. She grounds me sometimes. So, I want to tell you this morning what an honor and a privilege it is to be here before you again. Such a wonderful time last Sunday. I spent most of the week counting down the hours at work and counting down the days because I couldn't wait to come back. And I was starting to get choked up here when we were talking about the names of our Father. And there are so many names for Him that it equates to indescribable. There is no song that convey, no word that can tell how awesome our God is. Amen. So, I am pleased to be here again. And should you guys decide to make me the next pastor of your church, we can expect some wild and fun times. At least from my end, okay? Because I like to be wild and fun, and as Jace Robertson said on Duck Dynasty, if you don't know what you're doing, do it quick, okay? So, however, I do know what I'm doing up here, at least so God has told me, and so we don't have to be so quick. So we can settle in for, what, 3.5, maybe? 3.5 hours? Okay, all right, cool. Just kidding. So, have you ever who's watched the Discovery Channel at all? Okay, there we go. See, more people have watched the Discovery Channel than like the Home Shopping Network. That impresses me here. Okay, but if you've ever watched the Discovery Channel, I, like most guys, can get really excited and engaged in watching the Discovery Channel. Maybe during a hunting show or doing Shark Week, right? And most of the time, when it comes to the shark or killer animals, and most of all, the particular shows go like this. It's more predator versus prey. Okay, and before I dive into that, last week we kind of talked about God's plan for us as individuals and somewhat as a church, but we also kind of dived into that at the end. So I want to expand on the church this morning. And we set the scene for predator versus prey. In the predator versus prey shows, they all have a particular theme, particular format, and even a certain type of host. You know, whether it's Steve Irwin, who's now passed away, you know, he's crikey, we're here with the alligator, you know, all of that. I do a better redneck voice than I do an Australian, so maybe I'll stick with that. And then, the format is that they want to put whatever animal or prey that they are using in a pack together and have one isolated by itself. And the particular host they normally have that hosts the show is always in a dramatic phrase. So he would go something like this, and stay with me, folks. And I'll do my country hunting show, you know, the predator versus the prey. So you put it all together and it might go something like this. And as we're here, man, you see a herd of gazelles and they're out eating and frolicking around. And then if you notice, man, the cheetah comes in and just clamps on down on it. And then, you know, it's isolated by itself. And then all of a sudden, now you have dinner for the next 5 days, right? Kind of thing. All right? Comes in 60 miles an hour, isolates itself from the pack, and the pack of the cheetahs will be feed on the gazelle. And so, you know, and then you're sitting there and you're like, oh, man, you know, awesome. Did you see the way, you know, and I'm especially taking it for all you guys. The minute the cheetah latches on, you're like, whoa. That's like when the Steelers make a tackle this past Thursday. Who watched the game? Okay, all right. They said you were true Steelers fans here, but I don't believe it. I only seen two hands. Well, I know Jeannie and Rick did watch it because they were like, oh, yeah. So that's I'll count them as four hands. And just like that, whether it's a pack of seals, pack of or herd of gazelles, the pack is more likely to survive over the one gazelle who has isolated itself. So if you would with me this morning, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And in this morning, we kind of discover somewhat of a plan for God's church and the building of his church. But in order to get the context of it, I'm going to read 1 through 8. If you're with me this morning, say amen. All right. Starting in verse 1. And therefore rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, and hypocrisy, and every slander of every kind. Like the newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You have believed. And as you come to him, this is the living stone and chosen people of God. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For it says in Scripture, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, that and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let me pray real quick. Our Heavenly Father, as we discuss your word this morning, in this scripture, help us to see with our ears and our eyes, to understand what you might be saying to us, Father. Help us, your church, to understand where you have us, where you've placed us, and what purpose you've called us to as the church that you are building. Father, we thank you for the love you've shown us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy this morning, because without grace, it's all about works. And without works, well, we got grace, as we discussed this morning. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to label this kind of, I call it a talk, if you will, this morning. No man is an island. And in that context this morning, I want to focus not on the island, you know, oddly enough, it's no man is an island, but I want to focus on community, okay? We as a church, as a community. And let me give you kind of a weird example. Now, maybe I'll use the phrase of me, myself, and Irene kind of movie, but we'll say me, myself, and I, right? So imagine if you were like God in person, right? Three and one, one and three, and you were, let's say, me, myself, and I, right? You'd talk to yourself, right? You'd convey with yourself. You would work together, kind of thing. And we'll, so it'd be me, myself, and I. So if you're talking to yourself in public, you're conferring with yourself to do different things with the other part of yourself, me, and then you're conferring with I. Chances are in this day and age, someone's going to either think your sanity might be questioned or you'll be on a bit of medication. So I have found myself there. You know, I've always been told that, you know, when you say, "Oh, well, I was talking to myself," as long as you don't answer, you're good, okay? But in this, we really don't have to go far to see an example in Scripture. In Genesis, as you see, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And it can be pictured as if God is talking to himself, and God can do that, well, because God is God, okay? We won't question that. But, and God is a community. God alone is a community amongst himself. He is alone a community, distinguishable, indivisible, singular in nature and character, and plural in person. Let me say that one more time. To understand the Trinity, to understand God the Father, the Holy Spirit, Christ the Son, he is alone a community amongst himself, distinguishable, which is distinct, set apart, indivisible, unseparatable. You cannot separate the three. If you have one, you have the other two. Singular in nature and character, plural in person. And each having their roles. So when God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, he designed us for community. He designed us just like himself. You know, we have a body, spirit, and we commune with God, yet we commune with each other. And as a community, we commune with the community. Now, I say community, God made us community characters. He didn't make us to just sit in pews and understand things, right? So I'd like to look at the church as part of, like, if you look at a government entity, you know, you have this part of the community that does this. You have this part of the community that does a separate thing. And then you have the church, who's a part of the community, because in Genesis, God made the local body of the church to reach the local community. Okay? So, following along, he made us for community, and we are community creatures. You're not an isolated being living in close proximity to others. However, you and I are interconnected and interdependent. What that means is, with God's plan in his church, is that we all operate interconnected. So, you know, when you say, I never knew how God set up to bless me with this. But yet, while we're thinking, God, would you bless this in my life? Or would you answer this prayer? Somewhere, God is operating to make these things happen in an interconnected way with another believer or something. And interdependent, meaning we're dependent upon God, but we're also dependent upon each other. We are intended for relationship, intimacy, and service. Interdependent with the triune God, each other, body, and community of God. God has intended each and every one of us to live within community. In Proverbs 18, it said, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. God desires for us to live communal lives. So see, without our community, our world, I say our community, this is our little community. Without our community, the world will not see God. Because that's what we're made for. That's why we go and we witness or we live missionally amongst our people. God created us to be human, basically, I would say human doings, but, you know, being. I kind of look at that as like existing, but God wants us to be involved in the people's lives around us. How many people this morning by hand know somebody who's not saved? Right? Okay, that's more than the Steelers fans in here, right? How many in here are Browns fans? Let's see how many hands go up there. Oh, there you go. Maybe I should ask that, you know, who's seen the Browns game and then no one raises their hand? I'll say, yep, real Steelers fans. So, but God made us for communal lives. And I don't know if you, I mean, some of you may know this. If you spend a little bit of time on the internet, there's communities for everything, right? There's communities for coffee drinkers, you know, there are communities on Facebook, you know. There's communities for people who enjoy football together. And I mean, there's probably even a community of people that come together for underwater basket weaving. Woo! Amen for that, okay? So, if Jesus walked on water, he didn't have to take that class. And he did, so hooray for Jesus not having to take underwater basket weaving. But there are communities for everything, are there not? And on the internet, some of these are people that are most likely they'll never meet each other, and they just type back and forth and all of that. But what makes our community transcendent above all other communities, that means what makes us stand out, what makes us look different, what makes us set apart, is not that we're really good people and this is a really good book that we can follow to the T, because guess what? If it's works and rules, then this book is dead. But if it's by the grace of God and it is about Jesus, then life begins here and here. And we are supposed to be those who spread life, who breathe life into others. That's why people say, I like being around you. I don't know why, but I like being around you. I always feel better about myself. Anyone ever heard that in their lives? And they're like, and it's because you exude the confidence of God and Christ in character, in nature, and in person. We are community creatures. What makes us transcendent is that it's about Jesus Christ. What makes us transcendent is not that we're really disciplined, not that we're really good at following rules, because it has nothing at all, anything to do with us. It's about Him and His praise. You know, while I was contemplating my message this week and studying, trying to understand what is it that God wants for us, because I felt like, well, I wanted to last Sunday approach my message from an individual standpoint and asking God, what is it that you want me to say about the church? Is that I wonder how the church would have been built. Right now, you know, let's not confuse the terms. Okay, so we, the people, are the body, the church. Okay, and but by nature, this building is what people outside would call the church. Okay, I'm going to church, or you know, most believers would say, I am the church. I am the church that is going. Okay, but I began to think about the aspect and how the building might have been built. Right. So if we look at the church and how it might have been built. Now we have a very nice building, nice wood-stained ceilings, wonderful fans, wonderful, beautiful carpet, and a lot of great instruments and that kind of stuff. We have a great sanctuary, a great place to gather, a great place to eat food. By which the way, it was awesome to share the wonderful dining spread with you last week. I always say, I don't care what you call me, just don't call me late for dinner, okay? But seriously, any one, you know, made with bricks and made with mortar and made with different materials. But any one brick of this building in and of itself is just a brick. Any building materials in and of itself is just one piece. Now, we have a nice, beautiful building. And it has a bunch of bricks, right? A bunch of building materials all brought together for the purpose to shelter us so we have a place to worship. You know, with a collection of bricks and, well, some other building materials. We now have a beautiful building, a community of bricks that was put together with a purpose in mind. And so it is with Christ and His church. Peter goes on to say in Scripture this morning, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. To be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Christ. You are being built into a spiritual house, whether you're a brick or a Lego or that kind of thing. And he says, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe this, this stone is precious, but those who do not believe, it will become the ones who have rejected it will become for them to trip over. We are together a living community of stones being built into a spiritual house. You know, and why do we say that? You know, as we come to him, rejected by humans, but chosen by him. And once we become saved with Jesus, he adds us, you know, kind of like another brick in the wall, you know, if you know a Pink Floyd reference. But we are a community, a collection of bricks put together for a purpose. And the beautiful part about this, because we're interdependent and interconnected beings, is that we need each other. The community does not operate by one Lego itself. One Lego does not become a house, or one stone does not become a house. I want you to imagine God went out and bought a set of Legos, right? Kind of like we do. You know, and I like to refer God and to kind of to make it relatable to some of us. But imagine, you know, it's like, I'm not saying, you know, you're God, but okay, put God in your shoes, which is kind of bad too, but I don't know how to explain it. And he goes out, he goes down to Sam's Club, right? And he goes down and he buys Legos in bulk, right? Because, you know, he's continuing to build his church, but he's putting the pieces together. Imagine he went down and bought the Lego set, and it was come with, it was supposed to be built into a church, right? Let's just say a church building or church the people. And he's got the direction. He has a plan and he's adding to it through us as spiritual bricks. And he says, you know, if you picture, you know, you go like this and you say, well, I have one Lego in my hand and I wish I had the Legos to do this still. But, you know, if everyone in this room had a Lego, and they said, I'm one piece. You start adding those pieces together, you begin to understand and see how this spiritual house is for the purpose of God, the ultimate Lego maker. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable. We're not in Sweden. It is not good for man to be alone, isolated, separated by himself, or removed from such a community that is interconnected for many different reasons. We are not meant to be alone, isolated, and removed. Those who are just believing, and that's when I say a human being, those who are just believing, who have just believed the word of God, or those who haven't believed in him just yet, God loves you. He brought you here for a reason this very morning, and he has brought you to acknowledge his plan in your life. If you know him or not, if you do not know him, then he has brought you here. Not only one so that you might believe in him, but he wants to be your friend. He wants to be your king, your Abba Father, your coming king, your savior. He loves you and he sent his son to die for you. And by accepting him, we may receive eternal life and party with Jesus in heaven. And with God, interdependent and interconnected, folks. How exciting can it get? This church is meant to pursue, by its building of us, the people, it's meant to pursue the purposes that God created it for. He sent His Son to die for, and as many parts striving towards the same goal together with different parts. He says in Corinthians, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, as we're discussing or were discussed last week in Romans 10, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Again, as I close this morning, folks, God has a purpose for this very church. And God has a purpose for every person sitting here this morning to do something. And you say, well, you know, let me tell you something. Let me say something this morning. If your heart is still beating, you still have a purpose. If it's beeping, that's not good, okay? Beep. If your heart is still beating, you have a purpose in your life. Whether you are a stay-at-home, you know, if you know, I know a lot of ladies like to knit. A lot, if your heart is still beating, there is a purpose for you. Because Christ has not called you home, which means your purpose is not fulfilled. We are a community of believers. And without us, without Crosswinds Alliance Church, and yes, I say us because we're all part of the same body, but, you know, a local body, our community, our world, our country, our state, and our town. Butler, Pennsylvania will not see God for who He is, awesome and magnificent and mighty in all His splendor. My God, your God, our God, is an awesome God. And if that doesn't get you riled up, man, then you need to get in a closet with Him. Because God put us here for one purpose, and that is for those who do not know Him, to praise Him and to worship Him. We're only getting 0.1% of the experience that Christ and the Heavenly Father, God, is going to provide us one day. But we exist here as a community of believers because the beggar, the prostitute, the homeless, the widow, the children need to see the church as they see the cornerstone in love, that when they come, to come unabandoned, no matter how they're dressed, no matter if they're bound by something, but they need to be able to come abandoned, unabandoned, and free to come boldly without hesitation. And as Crosswinds, we are His community, His hands and feet. That is, in short synopsis, His plan for the church in general. You guys are the spiritual bricks. We are the spiritual bricks that He's laying together for the foundation of what is coming in the future. And without you, without me, and I say you, I mean that individually, every one person, without you, the church might suffer in such an aspect. We were talking last week during a board meeting that maybe in 10 years, some of us agreed that maybe Christ would have returned by then. Well, you know, the CMA says He's our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and lastly, our coming King. Should we not be busy? You know, let's imagine that if we were busy, it would hasten His return, right? Should we not be busy with the vineyards and the harvest that He's given us? So this morning, as I close in prayer, I want to pray that over this church. I want to pray that over you individually. And I want to challenge you that as you go about your daily lives, whoever you may run into in your routine or in your life, that God would point someone out to you. More than 3/4 of the people knew somebody in here that wasn't saved. So are you praying for them? Are you reaching out to them? Are you showing them the love of Christ? Are you going out of your way? And I think those are the questions we need to answer as the church. Because there are people around us every day. And we fail, sometimes miserably, sometimes a little bit. We're like, Christ, I want you to be everything in my life so that I can do this. And so the question is, will you be a living stone or will you be living alone? That's my challenge. Father in heaven, you are great and greatly to be praised, Lord. We adore you, we love you, and we want to honor you and what you are calling us to do. Father, it is not by chance that all of us are sitting in the same building at the same time, just merely by accident. But Father, you've brought us here. And Father, I would ask that whatever plans you have for your people, whatever plans that you have for your church, Father, I pray that you and you alone would fulfill that purpose and those plans. Father, that you would be our cornerstone, leading us to living in love and that and abiding with you, Father, that others might see you through us in love. The cornerstone of the church, Father. May we lead those around us to you by how we love. Because without your love, we're void. So, Father, I want to pray and also challenge the church this morning to be living stones made for a purpose in his body here. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we adore you. And we ask that you yourself would challenge and convict us as we walk out of these doors to a dying community that may be lost in hell forever. In Jesus' name.